give us the launch codes. Travis and Tom.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you doing? I heard that Mike Trout is starting a new position.
He's still playing? Sorry, I know I'm an Angel fan, but I haven't seen that guy do much in a long time.
Supposedly he's playing right field instead of center field, which, I mean, it's kind of a lateral move if you think about it, but...
Literally or figuratively? So why is he just moving to right field?
I don't know. Maybe they picked up a center fielder that can only do center fielder. You know how these things are.
Let's be honest, Trout's going to get another injury in the season. He's not going to be in the season anyway.
I was about to ask if Mike Trout was actually going to stay. Do you think if he can go a full season?
I think he'll... Who knows? At this point, like, I mean, he's been so battered every goddamn fucking season. I don't even give a shit.
Why does he keep getting hurt?
I don't know. Is he dumb? Is he stupid? I don't know. Like, my dad likes him at the beginning, that he always shouts MVP, but I don't know. I never saw it. I never saw anything much in Mike Trout personally for me. I know he's the greatest thing, quote unquote, that ever happened to the Angels, but I was like, I miss Pujols. I miss Albert Pujols. Fuck. We got enough. The Angels have enough problems in their organization that Trout making a lateral move means jack shit to me. He should just put him on the bench.
You got the only other thing I can think of the Angels. You guys got Kenley Jensen, who used to be a closer for the Dodgers. As a lot of people have joked, Kenley Jensen wanted to come back to LA but signed with the wrong team.
I know spring training started. That's all I know. Yeah. I know your team's going for a repeat.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Fuck you
guys. I mean, I don't know if it'll happen because we haven't had a repeat since 2000 with the Yankees. It's very hard to get to the World Series, so I'm being modest, but we're definitely, the organization is operating like we're going to fucking do it again. Or like we're going to be a serious contender.
You know what? I feel like with everything that happened, LA does need a win. Let's be honest, with the fires. With the fires, the fucking protests over deportation. Sure, why not, Dodgers? Go for the repeat. I'm an Angels fan. I have my own problems. I'm an Angels fan and a Raiders fan and a Ducks fan, ladies and gentlemen. I have my own fucking issues here, so fuck LA. Who cares?
Let's fucking go.
Please, LA, rebuild yourself, but fuck your baseball team. fuck you guys. And you know what? We have another sponsor, Travis. We got a brand new sponsor again, ladies and gentlemen. This is the one podcast in the entire world that just always gets a brand new sponsor. We're the number four podcast in the world, let's be honest. We got so many sponsors lining up. We give them each one
Source,
episode.
Trust me, bro.
We have so many sponsors that we just give only them one an episode. That's how much are just ringing the phones. You know, they're just calling. So our sponsor today.
You know, I have a better idea.
Fuck it.
Can I just talk about Twin Peaks for a bit?
Oh, fuck it. Hand jobs. Go, Travis. Let's just go.
Have you ever watched Twin Peaks, Tom?
I haven't. Okay. I don't even know where to find it at this point.
It's on Paramount Plus.
Oh.
Well, the original TV show, and then you got to watch Fire Walk With Me, the movie, afterwards, of which you probably should just rent it.
What do you mean original TV show? How many are there?
Well, okay, so, because there's the original run, the original ABC run from 1990 to 1991, two seasons, 30 episodes, and then it got canceled, and then David Lynch made the movie Fire Walk With Me, which is technically a prequel, but with some elements that happen after the show, sort of, and then there's the Showtime miniseries, and that's it.
Okay, let's peek it up. Twin Peaks, tell me all about it.
So you never watched Twin Peaks.
I know about it. I know you're a big fan. I know you've told me to watch it. I've never gotten around to do it. And I know this has been a long time coming. This is about, 10 plus years in the making. So never watched Twin Peaks. Please, let's go down this rabbit hole.
You listen to me. While I will admit to a certain cynicism, the fact is that I'm a naysayer and hatchet man in the fight against violence. I pride myself in taking a punch, and I'll gladly take another because I choose to live my life in the company of Gandhi and King. My concerns are global. I reject absolutely revenge, aggression, and retaliation. The foundation of such a method is love. I love you, Sheriff Truman.
Well, I would say if you like modern television, a lot of it, you owe a lot of thanks to Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks was way ahead of its time as a television show. It was the brainchild of TV writer Mark Frost and American sweetheart experimental filmmaker David Lynch. Now, the literal premise of the show is an FBI agent goes to a small Washington town in the mountains called Twin Peaks to investigate a murder of basically the homecoming queen, you know, the popular teenage girl that everybody loved. So he goes up there to investigate and discovers that not everybody in Twin Peaks is who they seem, and they're all a bunch of quirky, strange individuals. That's like the premise on paper. When you watch the show, there's like a bunch of weird, wacky shit that happens.
The premise sounds weird and wacky, because why would an FBI agent be investigating a homecoming queen?
Technically, they found her body across the Canadian border.
So it became legal. Yeah. Okay, international.
But when you watch the show, when you realize that even this FBI agent is not like who you think he is. He's not like some hard-nosed, do this by the book, I'm gonna take over your investigation. He has weird visions in his dreams that actually lead him clues as to what's really going on regarding the matter of the murder investigation. So yeah, there's like, you realize there's actually supernatural shit that goes on this show.
And this isn't all in the state of Washington.
Yeah, all in this one town. Yeah, Kyle MacLachlan is the star. But this was like, you know, this is 1990, so like, they were playing around with the idea of serialization. You had stuff like Hill Street Blues and L.A. Law, which are like, oh, we'll take existing tried and true genres and just do, kind of give them like a light soap opera treatment with them. And then you just had your soap operas like Dallas and Dynasty. And then Twin Peaks was this surreal amalgam of everything. It was drama, it was comedy, it was soap opera, it was murder mystery, it was cop drama. It was the funniest thing you'll ever watch, and sometimes the scariest thing you'll ever watch. There's some very disturbing images from that show, and this is just like the 90s one that are like burned into my brain. And then yeah, so like it went on for two seasons, and then ABC canceled it because it was just way too ahead of its time. You know, they didn't have DVRs or DVDs back then, so it's like if you missed a couple episodes, you probably were lost.
Oh, so you had to actually follow it.
You really did have to watch it every week. And they also solved the murder of Laura Palmer midway through season two, and then for like four or five episodes, the show didn't know what to do with itself. And then once it got its shit together, no one was watching it anymore. After that, David Lynch made a movie called Fire Walk With Me.
Okay.
Which was, it was like a prequel. It showed like all the events that played out, like how this poor girl, Laura Palmer, got murdered and what was going on with her. But it didn't feel like the show because it's a David Lynch movie. And if you've seen Eraserhead, Blue Velvet, Mulholland Drive, you know where
I want to fuck something!
Heaven, everything is fine. You're like, oh, this is a different animal, which is probably why a lot of people hated that movie. In fairness, I think the theatrical edit is not the best one. There's a better, because there was a lot of scenes that actually helped things make a little more sense that were cut out of the movie. There was a fan edit, someone called it, it's called the Blue Rose edit, and that would be the version I would recommend watching for Fire Walk With Me.
Out of curiosity, what does Blue Rose mean? Is that the fan, like, YouTube channel, or what does Blue Rose have to do?
I don't know. I don't know if it was like a reference to the show, or if it was just like, yeah, or if it was just like somebody's YouTube name.
Okay.
But you can find that online. Yeah, and then Showtime rebooted it in 2017. They got David Lynch and Mark Frost to come back They wrote every episode. David Lynch directed every episode. It was an 18-episode-long affair.
An 18-episode miniseries?
Yes. Yes.
Jesus Christ.
I don't think they knew it was going to be that long. I think they just filmed the whole thing as it was going to be one long movie and then divided it. It was made into 18 episodes later. And yeah, it was basically they just gave David Lynch carte blanche to do whatever he wanted. And that's basically what it feels like. And it feels... It's a sequel and continuation of Twin Peaks, but it really feels more like David Lynch making a tribute to all of his work up to that point. It's fitting we're doing it at this time because he actually passed away last month, David Lynch. He was, 72, 78?
Wait, no shit. Is he actually dead?
Yeah, he passed away January 16th, last month.
What the fuck?
He was 78 years old. He had like emphysema.
I didn't even know he died.
You didn't know he died.
No, I didn't know. What the shit?
Oh God, it was a huge fucking deal. And of course he lived in like the affected areas of the fires. Like a few days before he died, he had to evacuate and I guess he just died in the hospital. Yeah, it was really sad. And I'll tell you this, is how much of a cult following this filmmaker had. There's like a Big Boy restaurant in Burbank that he ate at a lot. And after he died, fans basically turned like the Big Boy statue in front of the place into a shrine. They're like putting like memorabilia around the place. You gotta look that up. It's such a beautiful picture. But apparently like he liked to eat at that place a lot. And he would write there, have like meet with
producers,
actors and producers. Like, you meet
damn,
there.
I can't believe he's dead. When did he die again?
Last month.
His age.
He was 78.
Fuck!
Yeah. And he was apparently developing a new project for Netflix at the time. Aww. That probably won't get to see the light of day.
In your opinion, as a fan of this this show, do you think it just came on too early or wasn't developed fully enough for the time period? Like one of the two, what do you think it was? Came too early or wasn't fully envisioned?
I think it was fully envisioned. It was just, there really was nothing like it. The surrealism of that show, the supernatural surrealism is like...
Is the standard now?
It's not. It's like I still don't think that's ever been matched. I don't think I don't think anyone should ever try. Because Lynch had a whole... Lynch is always, his philosophy in filmmaking was like he was bringing dreams to life. And almost all of his movies have this dreamlike quality where it's like, you know, when you dream and the scenario in your dream plays out in a narrative, but then weird shit starts kind of derailing everything. That's what watching a David Lynch movie is like, but it can be disturbing and horrifying and yet wholesomely beautiful at the same time. You look at a show like Breaking Bad, I think there are hallmarks minus the supernatural weird David Lynch shit of Twin Peaks, but there are some hallmarks of Twin Peaks in Breaking Bad. Pace, how the camera is used. There's some hallmarks of that and hallmarks of Twin Peaks that you could see in like every other major cable serialized show, especially in like the 2000s onward, when suddenly there's this pressure of like drama television needs to be more filmic.
You know, that reminds me of two things that you're saying that now. I barely watched The Sopranos, but there was a lot of, like, dream sequences that were, like, kind of had that surrealness to them. Mm-hmm. And, like, it sounds like that, actually. Yeah. Like, Sopranos did it. And then the way you're describing how it went from comedy to horror, surrealism, and how it was kind of all wrapped up in one. That show Atlanta we watched together had a lot of that crazy surrealism to it. And we'd be laughing our balls off. And then we got dead quiet with, like, okay, this is not fun.
Yeah, Atlanta owes a lot to Twin Peaks, definitely. Yeah, cool. There's just nothing like this on television. And it's a murder mystery show, but we're just going to solve the one murder. And as a vehicle for filling out the supporting cast with various people of this town that have their own quirky qualities. So it was like, oh, it's... I'm trying to think. What was like the small town shows I'm thinking in my head actually came afterwards, but they're like, but so it's like that combined with just David Lynch kookiness.
It's kind of like how like, okay, I mean, Andy Griffith was in a small town, but then you just add like the woo-hoo. Like that? Are you saying?
Yeah, it's like there's
the setting that we all know of, mm-hmm. but with a crazy twist on it.
Yeah, because there's like there's a subplot involving the owner of the big hotel where the FBI agent stays at, where he's doing all these like shady business dealings, possibly corrupt involvement, and you're watching this like, ooh, does that have to do with why Laura Palmer was murdered? Then there's the guy who's dating, who is having an affair with the waitress, but he's married to a crazy lady who has an eye patch that is also much stronger than how she looks. Yeah, and then of course the Agent Cooper. Dale Cooper, the Kyle MacLachlan character, like he's having dreams of this other realm where everyone talks, but they talk like audio that's like backwards. And the figures that he sees in this dream realm with all the red curtains and the zigzag black and white striped floor includes the spirit of Laura Palmer, but also includes like a dancing dwarf guy and a very tall dude who I think he was like Lurch in Adam's Family movies.
The ones with
like little Christina Ricci.
Yeah, those ones.
Yeah, okay, that I think guy. He played Lurch in that. Yeah, wow. It's like very experimental, and just there was nothing like that on TV at the time. And there's a lot of conflicting accounts as to what the original vision of the show was going to be. Like some accounts saying that Lynch and Frost didn't want to solve the murder of Laura Palmer, that they were going to investigate and it was never really going to be solved. But then ABC came down on them and said, no, you got to solve it. I will say the way that actually gets resolved is really satisfying, albeit also very disturbing in like I can't believe they showed this on broadcast. Like, would never show this today. I'm trying my darndest not to spoil this.
Well, don't spoil it for me or the people. I gotta watch it now.
And then after that, yeah, the show was kind of directionless for a while.
And then it got back on its feet.
And then it came up with a new mystery, a new plot towards the end of the second season. And with this crazy cliffhanger ending that didn't get resolved until the Showtime miniseries. But, and then it got canceled because this is kind of before cable was big and audiences got fragmented. I don't think it could have sustained an audience that would have justified continuing that show. I don't think it was the kind of show that could have that large of an audience for a sustained period of time throughout many years. It was kind of like only the devoted remain. It happens a lot with, you know, kind of cult TV shows. I think some successors, like The X-Files, has some elements of Twin Peaks, not nearly as serialized, but certainly some of the horror elements and the more attempts at like being a little more cinematic, albeit on a 4x3 frame. And then, yeah, once like cable came around and television was able to be a little more serialized, stuff that, you know, Twin Peaks was already ahead of the curve with, you start seeing that being more normalized and the attempts to be quote-unquote more cinematic, to not just feel like, you know, a production going through the motions to get the appropriate coverage, but like, oh, you know, we're going to film this in a very striking image that also contributes to the storytelling and that sort of thing, which, you know, Breaking Bad is like a great example of that. Yeah, it was very ahead of its time, and then still is, I would say, if you watch that miniseries, which is probably the Showtime miniseries is the closest thing I think we've ever come to like avant-garde television.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, so where can I find both of them again? All three?
So
the original TV series, the movie,
The original TV series, you can find it. You can definitely find it on Paramount Plus. The Showtime miniseries, you can find that on Paramount Plus with Showtime. if you have the Showtime add-on. Fire Walk With Me, though, that might be more difficult. Well, you can find it. You probably have to like pay a specific fee for that, like a rental fee.
You have to pay something like on Amazon Prime kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not like, it's not like it's on Amazon Prime, like you have a paid subscription and it's there. I think you have to like, you know, rent it.
I know my dad talked about it a couple times, the show. He said he liked what he saw and then he just didn't get caught up to a point because it just, you know, life. But okay.
Mm-hmm.
All righty, I'll check it out. Twin Peaks. I mean, hey, would it be worth just buying on Amazon straight to the point?
Sure.
All right. Well, because mm-hmm. you know, Amazon, when you buy mm-hmm. stuff, it, okay, cool. All right, Twin Peaks. You sold me.
Yeah.
All right, I like it. Twin Peaks, everyone. All right. That's Travis's big recommendation. Oh, you know what? Okay, we're talking about our favorite thing that we watched. There's something that's been on my mind that I like. I want to talk about my favorite action movie of all time now.
Okay.
So we went from avant-garde surrealism to action Netflix.
Great.
Are you ready, Travis?
Yes.
Okay, because
this is Sparta!
I want to talk about 300.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, we're and with 300, we're going to talk a lot about Zack Snyder. I suppose I should... I haven't seen 300. I think I've seen almost all... Well, I haven't seen Dawn of the Dead either. But other than that, I think I've seen all of... No, I have not seen all of Zack Snyder's films. I've seen...
No, I didn't see that one that he did on Netflix either. Or his Rebel Moon crap.
I haven't seen his Netflix crap. I've seen Watchmen.
Hell yeah.
Sucker Punch.
I know, god damn it. Sucker Punch.
Man of Steel. Crap Man v. Pooper Man. Dawn of Just Shit. And...
Both versions.
Both versions of Justice League.
Sorry. Two of three versions, because we didn't watch Let Justice's Gray crap.
Oh, I didn't, you know, fuck that black and white
bullshit. We watched the other two versions in theaters, and then at your parents' house.
Yeah.
Justice League.
Of which, if we're going to talk about his Justice League, we probably won't talk about the Joss Whedon version. We'll talk about... Let's talk about
his vision, his one.
Which, I will say, I think his version of Justice League, even with problems I have with it, I think that might be my favorite movie of his that I've seen.
Even better than Watchmen?
Even better than Watchmen.
What?
I like the HBO Watchmen better.
I like HBO Watchmen too, but the Watchmen movie... Okay, fine. All right, we're here about 300. Okay, by the way, I'll say Dawn of the Dead, I think, is a little overrated. So I think it's overhyped. That's me personally.
His version.
I think it's overhyped in my opinion. That's just me.
Have you seen the George Romero version?
No, just the Night of the Dead. Right. Which, by the way, fun fact, everybody, so you get to know a little bit more about me and Travis here. We did a production of Night of the Living Dead.
Oh yeah, high school. It was a high school play. My sophomore year.
In my junior year, I played. Our teacher did a different take on it. There was two parallel stories. So, the first parallel story, the main one that we all know from the original Night of the Living Dead, I played the lead, Ben, and my good buddy here played Harry.
Yeah, I was the grumpy dad. You were the, even though you're not black, you played the black guy from the movie.
Speaking of that, it was funny. One of our classmates got upset that I got the lead. He's like, Tom, you're not even, like, you got that? Like, you know he was played by a black man, right? And my smart ass looked this 6'4", 6'5" motherfucker in the eye. And I said, oh, it's okay, because I'm a quarter black. And I just walked away. Said that right to his 6'5" ass. But no, you played Harry, and you played basically my antagonist.
Yes.
And I love your line.
To stay in the basement.
Gotta get in the basement. And then
we can't go outside. We gotta stay in the basement.
And that was the only time in all of Drama and Los Sal that we were together that I had a buzzed head. Remember that? I always had long hair or like high top fades and gelled back, slick back. I was buzzed for that in a suit. Kicking ass with a freaking 2x4 and shotgun. and spoiler alert, everyone, I shot my best friend.
Oh, yeah. We get to the scene where we fight over the shotgun and you
point blank range, 12 gauge into the gun.
Blow up my chest. Following year, the high school started cracking down on our productions for violence.
Sandy Hook is a lot to thank for that. But what's funny is... We're going to finish this up real quick, but speaking on Nylon Dead, I blew him with such close range with that 12 with that 12 gauge. Hold on.
Phrasing.
That 12 gauge was like what? Honestly, I think a millimeter away from your gut.
Yeah.
And it blew him to hell so badly, he didn't come back as a zombie at all.
Now, I think that's because the the flash forward scene transition happened before my reanimation could occur, of which I think off screen you've then blew out my brains just for good measure.
But he never arose. His on stage son came back and ate his wife, and I had to kill her. But I shot a 12 gauge right to the gut, never came back up. That's the beauty of stage, high school stage drama, people. But anyway, getting back to it, Zack Snyder-ness and all that. So 300 is not only, so the movie 300 is based off the Frank Miller graphic novel 300,
yeah,
which got turned into the movie that we all know by Zack Snyder. That's what I'm talking about. Faithful adaptation, by the way, the graphic novel to the screen. Almost shot for shot, just beautiful tapestry. And what I love about the graphic novel, just to speak to let everyone know, it's the only graphic novel and just comic book I have ever come across to in my life that's printed in like a wide format. It's printed like when you buy an art or photo book. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, like everyone sees like those expensive collection of photos and art drawings from, yeah, someone, but it's in a different like format where the book is way wider than it is long.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a stereotypical like graphic novel book. And 300 is the only one I've ever seen like that. And it's so beautiful. So please pick up 300, the graphic novel and the movie. But obviously, as we all know, 300 is actually based off of a real live battle that happened in 480 BC.
Yeah.
Where the king of Sparta, Leonidas, marched 300 of his personal Spartans, and for 3 fucking days, they held off an invading army of 1 million Persians. Yeah. Now, just think about that, where it's 300 dudes holding off, giving basically 3 million men hell.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I know there's a lot of the History Channel, when the History Channel was good, everybody, came out with a special right the week before 300 premiered. I think 300 is a 2006 film.
Yes.
And so the week before it premiered in 2006, History Channel came out with like an hour and 30-minute special on the Battle of 300, also talking about the Athenians' battle in the sea with the Persians, too. There was 2 big battles happening in Greece and Persia, the land and the sea. But the land battle they were talking about was actually, obviously, one, it seemed like there was either about 1,300 to possibly close to 7,000 Greeks led by these 300 Spartans to, yeah, fight them, obviously, but we just know about the 300. And then, yes, there's historical accounts. It was like actually maybe like 200,000 Persians. Not, there's no way in hell back then there could have been 1 million. I think there was. I really, because here's the thing. It happened so far back that it's 480 BC. This was before Christ, like BC. This is before Christ,
yeah,
the nailing of the cross, all that. And this is like, this is such a human event that it's legend beyond fact. Like, it's this thing that it's talked about to this day. It's referenced in not only other movies that are period pieces, but other battles people talk about. Its battle strategy is still used to this day, where it's a small, well-armed, well-equipped force able to hold off a large number, because the whole point was that the way the Spartans fought was they used the phalanx, which is basically they had these like really 7 by 7 foot round shields with a thick inch bronze metal plating on it, and they were just shield to shield, shoulder to shoulder, close, tight knit, like a fucking like an O-line on the football field. And then it was all about just holding off the wave, fucking pushing them back, putting their spear forward, and just letting the enemy do the work for them, because they just just pushing against, you know, metal and bone, and then just that was it. And they just slaughtered these Persians. Because what's interesting about this historical event, and we'll get to the movie real soon because I love this movie, but the historical event, what's interesting is it's one of those very rare times, Travis, where military technology was at a point in such a way that numbers didn't count. It was not only because that the Battle of Thermopylae was this narrow pass where numbers meant jack shit. It just came down to pure military tech. Yeah. It was such a narrow pass up against the Aegean Sea. I believe it was the Aegean Sea. The Persian army, they didn't have bronze armor or metal plating of any kind. It was wicker and leather. And so, obviously, it's not going to, a wicker shield is not going to do jack shit against a steel spear and sword and a bronze plating helmet, body armor, gauntlets, knee pads, and shield. Like, yeah, it was just that perfect, one of those rare perfect points in human history where it was all about the military advantage of not just well-trained men who were also just crazy motherfuckers to be a Spartan, but who had that just that slight advancement in technology where numbers meant jack shit.
Yeah.
And that's why it's such a big part of our history, because when you think about that number, even to this day, It'll never happen again in human history where 300 soldiers can hold off that many people for three fucking days. They gave these million dudes hell. And that's why this movie is one of my favorite action films, because it's based off of something that happened, but at the same time, it's told in such a way where it's, you're watching a legend, not historical fact, like a period piece, like how the movie Glory about the Civil War, or Saving Private Ryan with the invading of Normandy, even Platoon and Apocalypse Now with Vietnam. No, this was something that happened so long ago that really Christ wasn't alive. That's just crazy about this movie. And it's told, it's beautiful. It's a lot of blue screen, this movie. This movie is nothing but blue screen and slow motion shots, where Zack Snyder is known for nothing but slow motion, but this was one of the rare times where it was awesome. This and Watchmen were the only time the slow motion worked outside of The Matrix.
Does he still do that?
Yes, he fucking does, and that's why no one talks about Rebel Moon. And Justice League has too many of it. I don't... goddamn.
Yeah, you could... Yeah. That's like a four-hour movie. You could cut a lot of time.
Sucker Punch, all that. But this movie, 300, works because... So, the Spartans are considered to this day still the greatest warriors to ever walk the face of the earth of our species. And what was cool, what he did, what Frank Miller did, and what he brought to the screen, Zack Snyder did from Frank Miller's work, is all the Spartans had was a bronze helmet, their gauntlets and knee pads, and the shield. No body armor. They were actually just in a leather thong with this awesome red cloth cape. Mm-hmm. And yes, that's not what really happened. The Spartans had body armor on them, but it makes you think, like, well, if the whole point of Spartan military tactics is this phalanx shield wall where it cannot break, it will not break, you don't really need body armor. And it gives you more mobility where you're just in a thong. You have your gauntlets, your knee pads, your sandals. You have a cape, because the cape is used as a blanket too. It was a diverse cape. Like, that was your blanket. That was your everything you can think of, that cape. And then your helmet. And then you have your shield. Because if you have the shield, what's the point of body armor? So that's why it worked in the film. That's why I believed it. Mm-hmm. And then you just watch as this story is being unfolded of the King Leonidas, played by Gerard Butler, saying, there's this advancing army coming from another part of the world who wants to put us under their boot. And put their heel, their foot on our feet. He goes to crack his whip. And Stelios, played by Michael Fassbender, cuts off his arm. And he says, it's no longer yours. Tell your King Xerxes he faces free men here, not slaves.
1,000 nations descend upon you.
Our arrows will blot out the sun. And then this most famous line in all of military history is said, and we will fight in the shade. And you're like, all right, let's see this. This is kind of... I'm like, all right, this is cool. Let's fucking do this shit. And then the battle happens, and they know that the Persian army is advancing because of earthquake. That's how fast.
Another Persian emissary comes in and says,
Spartans, lay down your weapons. And this is a real line, by the way. This is a historically accurate line, the whole we'll fight in the shade. That was actually said by
one line that said, like, is that the best you can do? No!
Like, he's like, just, they're just shouting at these guys, like, just like one liners. And what made me
to the king, like, that's, they're not catching up to, like, we gotta defend him, he's defenseless, he broke the phalanx wall, he's out there by himself while this, like, 50 dudes are still coming at. Like, no, it's like, shit, we look bad, gotta catch up.
King says, oh, and the captain's like, hell of a good start, turns back to the men, oh, yeah, and then you hear, and they turn, and they all turn. Just imagine this sight, because it never happened before in history, and this is the first time.
He just gets his spear and just stabs the dude, like, fuck you, man! Like, you just cut me!
And all of a sudden, Leonidas says, now! And they stop.
That must have been an insane sight. Just to think of it today, that would scare the shit out of anyone. And it just came in.
This is the best part. This is why I see this era of your men, your women, and children. They all drown. But what I love about that,
Now let me ask you, are you talking about why I should watch this movie, or are you just telling me what happens in the movie?
Both.
Are you spoiling the movie
for me? No, because that's a historical thing, so I'm not. So,
okay. But the way, the emotional way you're telling it, it's like, I'm watching it right now. I feel like I don't have to watch it.
You know what, then? I'm gonna stop there.
Good. Because I didn't spoil shit for you about Twin Peaks.
I got excited. My bad. It's not spoiling if it's historical fact, Travis. Okay, that's the first half of the day.
Okay.
So you have two more days of insanity.
Okay.
But what's cool about it is the rest of the movie, it's the way it's told. And this is one of those very few moments where narrating, and it's over-narrated. There's narration probably every 2 minutes.
How bad is it compared to M. Night Shyamalan's The Last Airbender?
It's the only time it works.
Okay.
There's narration every 2 minutes. There's a voiceover, and it works.
Okay.
Because you're getting sucked into this one Spartan. I forget who's in him. He's played by the guy who plays Faramir in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, okay.
I forget the character's name. Everyone knows him as telling great stories. Mm-hmm. And in the comic books, he actually tells some really good stories. Yeah. But he narrates the whole film, and when he narrates day two, it's something where you're just like, I think that happened. Mm-hmm. Because the thing about Spartans is they weren't educated. They were smart, like streetwise, but they didn't have a formal education at all because they only believed in combat. So to them, for example, if they saw an elephant, to them that's a monster. And in the movie, these elephants are portrayed almost as big as like 3-story, 5-story houses. They're towering. This is not an elephant. This is almost like an elephant from Lord of the Rings. Like they're portrayed that big. But to someone with no formal education in the heat of combat, telling a story that's been told over thousands of years, you get told like almost a legend. Like they make the elephants 10 times bigger than a normal elephant, but you understand like, well, to them, that's how it would be. Mm-hmm. This is not a spoil, but there's a line from the second day where it's, when muscle failed, they turned to their magic. And what we see, remember, this is 100 nations from Asia descending upon them. Where was gunpowder invented?
China.
So to them, they think it's explosive, fiery, voodoo magic. They're throwing grenades. They're throwing old school, you light the fuse, little metal, like clay bomb grenades. To us, you know, the people who haven't not only just a formal education but have no history, we're like, those are probably the first grenade ever used.
Yeah.
But to the Spartans, they're telling they use their magic on us. Like, it got crazy. They sent monsters from half the world away. We saw this grotesqueness.
So this is before Christ.
Before AD BC, yeah.
When was gunpowder invented, in the 13th century?
Like I said, this is a legend.
This is where it crosses, it goes out of history.
That's why you kind of believe it, because you're just like, well, it's a guy who has no formal education, who's never seen these animals from across. Remember, this is from the other side of the world, Africa, Asia.
Yeah.
They've never seen this shit, so how would you describe it?
Yeah.
And you get sucked into a war movie of a soldier telling something like, we saw shit. It's the equivalent of like when, you know, Germans and like the German and British and French saw tanks for the first time in World War One. They're just like, the fuck is that?
These like monsters.
Yeah, and the way he describes it, that's why it's so awesome of not only an action film because of the stylized action and stuff, but as a war film, you're like, I don't know, man. Like, I got, like, to me, when I watch the movie, I'm like, I buy it. Because if your whole point is a shield wall, you don't need body armor, right? If your whole point is, and then you're more mobile.
Mm-hmm.
If your whole point is, like, we fought these guys called the Immortals. In the National Geographic one, it's basically they wore a hijab and, like, a very thin black cloth sheet to cover their face. But in the movie, they have these demon metal masks on.
They look scarier.
All of them are dual wielding katanas.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't talk, but when they knock off one of the masks, you see like demon fight, like demons. They fight demons.
Yeah.
But that's what's cool.
Because if you only were around like a mono ethnic culture, yeah, seeing foreigners from a different ethnic land would look
demonic.
They would look monstrous to you.
But that's the cool thing about it. So I won't spoil the rest. I'm sorry. I got into it too much.
Yeah.
You got half a day. I actually left out some other stuff in the beginning.
Okay, good.
But you got half the day. But it just shows you how crazy, not only is it as an action film, because it's the Zack Snyder stylization that we know to this day,
mm-hmm.
but this did happen. And it's told as not a historical fact. It's told as a legend. And you buy into it that these 300 dudes said,
fuck you. And they took on a million motherfuckers over 3 days and beat the shit. They just beaten the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome. The acting's great. It's a little over the top. There's some cheesy moments. There's some slow motion, and the fucking voiceover is so overdone. But this is the only movie where a voiceover every 2 minute works.
Now, how well has the movie aged?
I think it's aged well because you see it as a military film. Mm-hmm. Not as, okay, like I said, okay, going back to what I said this. The whole thing why the Spartans did this, and they did this for the greater good of Greece, where democracy was born, and people say the entire world owes it to these 300 men.
Yeah.
Freedom. Again, Sparta was the greatest slave state in all of Greece. Yeah. And child abuse. Straight up fucking pure tyrannical child abuse, really.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is, you look at it as a military standpoint where you see how it's just that one moment where it's just you have that slight military technological edge.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter who comes up against you. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of crazy to think about. Like, it's kind of like, okay, look at the Civil War. The Union had the Gatling gun. First Gatling gun, it was a crank handle, and they had lever action repeating rifles while the South was still using muskets. Think about this, a Southerner, maybe you're 5,000 strong going up against 1,000 Union. They got 3 Gatling gun attachments on the top of the hill plus repeating rifles. Mm-hmm. Who's going to win?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how. And the thing is this, the more disciplined soldier was the Southern Confederate. More disciplined, better shot overall.
Yeah.
Like the better, because they were hunters more, the huntsmen.
Mm-hmm.
They had the better accuracy, the better shot, the craftsmanship, that gentleman discipline. Mm-hmm. They got torn to fucking shreds once the Gatling gun came into play, and repeating rifle, because you know how long a musket takes.
Yeah.
It's a 14-step process to load a musket. The fastest way is a 14-step process. Lever action is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know what I mean? So that's like that. I see it as a military film. It's an action film in my point, yeah, but I see it as a military film because this happened. This is one of what? 2 or 3 battles that are still talked to this day in our species history that all cultures and all religions will talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows you, one, using of your land, narrow pass, you have a narrow ground, doesn't matter the size of the army, you can beat them with small numbers. 2, if you got bronze 1-inch thick shielding plating, it doesn't matter who the fuck runs up against you, you're gonna fucking hold them. And then 3, the way it's told, it's not historical fact anymore, this actual battle that happened. It's a legend.
It's a legend, yeah.
It's like the battle of it's like the war in Troy, the Battle of Troy. It's that equivalent. It's like it's beyond our imagination to the point where we accept that imagination. Where you brought up like this, wait, wasn't gunpowder invented here?
Yeah.
Exactly. But you accept what you're watching because you're just like this. Dude, look what they're doing.
Where it's like, okay, this is like, it's kind of a glorified fantasy film at this point.
But you take it from a military standpoint film, you're like, it's like, okay, I get it. Like this, it was just that one point in human history. There's no other time in human history could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Where 300 crazy fucking motherfuckers took on a million dudes. Because that number, that can't even happen today. Even in guerrilla warfare, it couldn't happen.
No, you 300 guys gather around in one place. Oh, just drop a drone.
Yeah, sure. And even if you let's say you scattered in the enemy country, a million dudes are going to find you. And they're going to fuck you up.
Yeah, now it's about like who has the best like remote technology.
And that's why this is so interesting as a human history standpoint, where that's it. No other battle can ever be done like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it did, and that's like, so I recommend you watch it jokingly finish it. You got me there.
Mm-hmm.
I got excited. But you just watch and you're just like, Jesus Christ, these guys were fucking crazy. No wonder it worked. No wonder it happened. And read the comic. I recommend everyone for sure read the Frank Miller comic because it's told very dry. The movie is told very Hollywood, very flavored up, very palpable.
Yeah.
When you read the comic, it's dry. Like, you actually don't see Leonidas as a hero. Dry.
Mm-hmm.
Which is true. He was pretty dry dude, pretty stoic. And I like the comic more because it just stole up as like a... Yeah, like, for example, this is in the comic. First, like, I think when the first 3 pages, he knocks out his captain for not disobeying an order the first time. He just comes up, cold cocks him, and he passes out on the ground. Just think about that.
Yeah.
In the movie, they have this brother-like bond.
In the comic, it's like, hey, knock it off. Okay, we're done there. Didn't listen to me.
Okay. Just walks up from behind the head, from behind him, and just smashes his head into his hand, his fist into his head, and he just passes out on the rock. That's the difference of the. It's like that's how dry the comic is.
It's like we need more emotionality,
bro. You need more broness.
Yeah.
There's no broness in the comic. It's okay. Just dudes who are warriors. In the movie, it's all bro.
How does it compare to, like, for you? How does it compare to Snyder's other work? Well, and where does it kind of stand for you?
It's well, for me, it's this because okay, Watchmen. I mean, 300 came out first, then Watchmen. I think then Sucker Punch. I believe.
Yes.
Man of Steel. Oh, Dawn of the Dead also too came in, I think.
Dawn of the Dead was his debut.
Okay, Dawn of the Dead. So Dawn of the Dead, 300, Watchmen, Sucker Punch.
Because 300 set, like, Dawn of the Dead was the debut movie. 300 was like, oh, hello, everybody.
I'm Zack Snyder.
I am Zack Snyder. This is what a Zack Snyder film
is. And then
Watchmen
was like this. I'm getting blank checks. Man of Steel, Dawn of Justice, Justice League, and all those bullshit Netflix movies. It's his second greatest film. I think Dawn of the Dead is a little overhyped, in my opinion, as a zombie movie. I've seen better, and I think zombies should be more of a TV show than movie. You get more done, you know what I mean, in the apocalypse. I think Watchmen is his greatest work, and I think that's also the greatest comic book movie ever made and superhero movie ever made. I think it hits all three for Snyder. Best Snyder film, best comic book film, best superhero film. And that's it. I just think of his two. I just think of Watchmen and 300. I don't even acknowledge anything else.
Okay.
I really don't like Man of Steel.
Yeah.
You and I saw Dawn of Justice, and we wanted to just drink ourselves.
We were laughing in the theater because of how bad it was.
But afterwards, I just wanted to drink myself to sleep. And then Justice League was. We thought we would laugh ourselves a bit, and we turned out just wanting our money back because it was so bad. And then at least we got to have food while watching it at your house. The true Zyder's version.
Yeah, the Snyder cut.
Sucker Punch, when it came out, I think I was a sophomore and you were a freshman.
I was a freshman. Yeah, so I watched it on a date.
You watched it on a date with a girl.
See, yeah. I wanted to Someone see who will not be named.
I wanted to go see it with a couple of buddies because it was, for once, you're like this. Hey, those girls are kind of cute. Mm-hmm. And they're short skirts. Hey, Scott Glenn's in it too. Okay, I'll watch it. I went down and saw the trailer. Before, I was like this. Oh, I'm getting a lot of Barbarella vibes. I'm not watching this. Like, it looks, and now you know what? I sat down and watched a little bit with my dad. Oh my God, it's crap. That is, bad film.
Wait, which one?
Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch. Okay, wait,
Barbarella.
Which one?
Barbarella's fun. Just
okay,
Jane
not Barbarella.
But,
yeah.
But,
yeah, Sucker Punch is such.
It was supposed to be a fun movie where really attractive women were just kicking ass, and I was like, all right, I'm down. Why not? Fuck it. And then I'm like, this is dumb. Come on, you can be good too with this shit. And then just it all fell apart with Man of Steel after that. But 300 is his second greatest film because it's so true to the comic. It's perfectly faithful. And then also, too, you find out behind the scenes, they had a lot of scenes in there with the main battles that they're like this. You know what? That's cool. We're still trying to ground this in reality. This really did happen. This happened. This is a real historical event. We're going to take that out. We're going to take that out. We're going to take that out. We're going to take that.
But we'll keep the Middle Eastern folks with demon faces.
Exactly. Exactly.
We'll keep the racism, but we'll take out the more fantastic elements.
Every Persian emissary they send out, there's three of them. They look more and more like rappers every time one comes out. I swear to God.
Not just they look like black people, but you say they specifically they dress like rappers? They got a bunch of bling?
They got a rapper vibe, yeah. The first emissary, you're like this. Yeah, that's a pompous ass. Second one, you're like this. Okay, he probably did an album in the 90s. The third dude, you're like this. Man. But he did shit before Kendrick Lamar did shit, didn't he? Like, that guy was already like, that guy has like 5 albums and a Grammy. That third emissary, you're like this. All right, let's bust some beats. It's a musical now.
What, did he have like a backwards cap or something?
You know what's funny? The parody, Meet the Spartans.
Oh.
That guy actually had a backwards cap.
Oh, okay.
I'm not
so kidding. They noticed
so
it.
So there's a parody called Meet the Spartans, which I recommend everyone watches. I love that. Was a funny movie. Carmen Electra's in it, and then that's the only person I know. Oh, and that heavy set dude from Borat. He plays Xerxes.
Oh, God.
No, it's great. That emissary has a backwards hat.
So they just saw the...
Look it up, dude. I know you're looking at it right now.
I'm looking up.
Don't look up with 300. Look, Meet the Spartans.
I'm looking up Meet the Spartans. It's made by Friedberg and Seltzer. That's not a good sell
for
me.
Look at the cast.
Okay. Sean Maguire, Carmen Electra. Is Kevin fucking Sorbo?
Yep.
God.
Now, find a picture of the emissary in, like, the actual movie clips. And you're going to laugh your ass off. He has a backwards black cap. Oh, by the way, you're going to laugh at this.
Oh, my God.
In Meet the Spartans. Hold on. Oh, did you find it?
Yeah, I found it.
Isn't that great?
What the fuck?
Do you want to know something more crazy about that film? Now, first of all, now that we broke off on a tangent, you know what's great about Meet the Spartans?
Yeah.
Ghost Rider makes an appearance.
Well, that's Friedberg, because that movie had like just come out. So that's Friedberg and Seltzer.
Baby Shrek makes an appearance.
Oh no.
Paris Hilton as a hunchback makes an appearance, and when you watch the film, you'll know what it's referencing.
Oh my God.
Oh no, it's great, and you know what's funny? The film makes it so much more homoerotic
with Kevin Sorbo in it.
Oh yeah.
Was this like before he had his like evangelical? I actually don't know. I don't know if Kevin Sorbo was always like an evangelical wacko.
It's 2008, so that'll tell you. Oh, Megatron's in it.
Wait, the basketball, the football player Megatron?
No. Megatron.
Oh, a voice actor Megatron?
Megatron. Like the actual, the Transformer.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, fucking course.
Megatron's in it. Hell, dude, I swear, there's a Grand Theft Auto level in it. I say level when I mean level. That first of all, Meet the Spartans. I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot about that movie. Meet the Spartans.
Didn't you bring that? No, you brought it up.
Did I bring it up? I thought you brought it up.
You're the one that's talking. You were the one talking about like freaking the
Oh yeah, the emissaries
looking so blinged out. They look like rappers.
Meet the Spartans is a great parody film. Now there's another film you gotta watch. Oh, you got two films to watch: 300 and Meet the Spartans, and it's so good. Here's how great it is. The second day battle is a not only a breakdance hip hop battle.
Oh.
No. It's a your mama joke battle.
Oh no!
And it's who was that actor saying Kevin who?
Kevin Sorbo.
He lands a few, dude.
Oh Jesus! I wonder if that's like a movie he wants to forget about.
He looked like he was having fun the whole time. I'm not joking.
He makes those like if you watch God's Not Dead Pureflix movies.
If you watch the ending of Meet the Spartans, it'd be hard for me to be like he's acting. It looks like he's having a lot of fun. If you see the ending of Meet the Spartans. Because I like, that's a good film, honestly. That's a good spoof.
What did Jesus do to your soul, Kevin Sorbo?
So, 300, getting back to it, 300 is my favorite action film, and I think it's a great, not a war film, a military's perspective film.
Okay.
On just like when you think about not only having a slight technological advantage over a massive army can help you, how you're using your surroundings to your advantage when you're few in numbers, mm-hmm. but then what these Spartans saw in combat they'd never saw before. It's the equivalent of like, you know, how the U.S. Marines saw the bonsai attacks from the Japanese.
Yeah.
How the Tiger tank was scaring them, you know, the army, the U.S. Army, like that kind of like those fear, like those first time ever moments.
Mm-hmm.
They witnessed 200,000 plus arrows come down on them. They saw these monsters that we know. What we know, I'm not going to say the names of the animals, because I want you to see it.
Yeah.
But when you see the animals, you're like this. Okay, I can see that. They'd call those monsters, mm-hmm. and, you know, monstrosities and horrors of war. They saw stuff that they never saw before,
mm-hmm.
because they were half a world away in their view. But they're like, holy shit, like, what is that?
Yeah.
Like, holy crap. And then it's like, they're throwing fire at us. Well, it's not fire, but okay. You know, oh crap, like, look at them. They're like, they have no face. They're like, you know, they're carrying these, you know, dual-wielding swords. They got these 7-foot-tall dudes that are giants, but they're just like 6'4", but to the Greeks. It's great. It's a great military film because it's like, yeah, what was it like seeing a nuke for the first time? That's probably for them a comparison.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like, for example, in the naval combat in the Civil War when the Confederacy was going up against those, basically the Union's little all-metal submarines with a rotating turret?
Yeah.
That's got to be insane to like think about at that time.
Yeah.
So you take that in. It's not a war film. It's a great military perspective film of like, those guys saw shit. that you would never be perceived ever again. And that's why I love it. It's a great film. It's a fun action film. It's quick. It's to the point. It's there's no complex thought to it. But it literally it encapsulates a lot of things where it's like, one, forgetting a certain part of why you're fighting. You got slaves. There's no such thing as freedom. Cough, cough, cough. All men created equal. Military perspective. And then, yeah, the greatest soldiers to ever walk the earth. You got the Spartans, the Samurai, and the Marines. Mm-hmm. After that, like, there's no other greater force in the entire world. Mm-hmm. It's just those three are the warriors. The Spartans are on top, the Samurai because of their lifestyle, and then the U.S. motherfucking Marines. What else do you know what I mean? It's cool. So... Sorry for spoiling a part of it for you. I got excited.
I feel bad for not digging more into spoiler territory with Twin Peaks.
Hey, at least you get to watch the rest and like, aw.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like bored for 45 minutes.
You'll be bored for actually 10 because the opening is. I didn't spoil the opening.
Okay.
It's got a great soundtrack too. So I wish I saw it in theaters. I didn't get a chance to because I was in sixth grade, so I was too young. Because there's some naughty bits in there. Not the gore. Gore didn't matter to my dad. He just was like, you don't need to see naked women yet. I'm like, damn it. I saw it on a TV and I was still blown away. I've seen it on flat screens that are like 72 inches big. Still blows me away. Mm-hmm. So it'll blow you away in any format. Hell, I watch YouTube clips once in a while. It's a film that will never be remade again because the overuse of slow-mo, you can't do it again. Because he killed it. Zack Snyder killed slow-mo. And then the over-narration... only works in that film because you know that 300 had a sequel, right?
Yeah, was it like Rise of an Empire? And
that told the Athenian perspective when they were doing the naval combat. But what was stupid about that is it was telling it like it was after the Battle of Thermopylae when it happened before. Yeah. And then also too, it's a...
And Snyder didn't make it either.
It's a flashback, prologue, epilogue movie. Just take it from that perspective.
Okay.
And there is voiceover every 2 minutes like the first one.
But it doesn't work.
You want to kill yourself during the Rise of the Empire because you're like this, oh my God, shut the fuck up. But in this one, you're like this, whoa, yeah.
Son, let me tell you a story.
It's poetic. It's almost like listening to Johnny Cash sing.
Okay.
And when he was older, not younger, his older, when he was older, when he was doing all those covers.
Yeah.
That's what you're watching. And that's why, because there'll be random lines of like, they fall by the hundreds. You're like, eh. What was another line he said? He was like, we put their name to the test. You're like, all right. Like, ah. There's moments where you're just like, yeah. Like, yeah. It jazzes you up. But then there's when he's talking about like day two, for example. Day two is the biggest one of the narration because it's all just a narration day two. You're just like this. Holy shit. Fuck happened out there?
Mm-hmm.
They like these guys were so far from home, they were never coming back, but they still thought they could win. They still thought they could do this crazy shit. And you're just like, holy shit, is that what I think I just saw? What the fuck was that? It's awesome. It's totally stylized. It's great. So 300. I'm sweating like a dog, by the way, talking about this. I got so amped up. Thank you, Travis, for stopping me from spoiling it, because I think I was just telling you a campfire story at this point.
I thought, like, I'll talk about, like, Twin Peaks for 20 minutes, and then you'd talk about 300 for 20 minutes, and we just do a short episode. Maybe, like, we should do this again every so often. We'll call it the Fuck It episode. The Fuck It. We're going to talk about something I've seen and something you haven't seen.
And I won't spoil it this time more. I won't spoil too much. And you know what's funny? I've been up since 12:30 a.m. and I'm surprised I have this much energy right now.
Well, you told me you were ready to go today.
I know, but I still did about 5 hours of crazy shit at work. Oh, my God. Yeah. So, yeah, this is how a fucking episode is going to be, everybody. Maybe, it's going to be someone's going to get sweaty. While the other person's like this, I'm going to do mysterious and alluring like fly fishing. Yeah. And then, oh my God, I need a beer. I need a beer and burger.
Yeah.
This is our Fuck It episode, everybody. We got two things that we got things that each of us have to watch. And then you, the folks, there's always free time. You got what? Two movies, a miniseries, and a TV show to check out. All of them worth it.
Yeah.
You will not regret it, of course. You won't regret it, no matter what. Because one... It's just good entertainment. That's all that matters. And you get to open your mind to different types of storytelling, the surrealism with the Artur acting, and then just a bit of human history. It's not a war movie. It's just a piece of human history that got overstylized, and then a director took it too far. By the way, Watchmen's amazing, so screw you on that. We're going to talk about Watchmen next time in a battle. We're going to battle over Watchmen in our next fuck it episode.
Which means I'll have to reread the book.
And watch the movie, the director's cut, which is over 3 hours long. And yeah, I watch it a lot.
Wait, the director's cut or the ultimate cut?
Oh!
Because I know there's like...
The Tales of the Black Freighter?
Yeah.
Let's just do the director's cut.
Okay.
We still have lives, ladies and gentlemen. I wish we could do all this anytime. We can't even do this every day, so we binge record.
Yeah. This is the third episode we recorded today.
Yep. So whenever this comes out, probably something stupid happened in on the news.
And we'll be far behind the times to react to it.
But don't worry, we'll still laugh.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. I promise we'll have something more topical to talk about next time.
And I promise I won't get so sweaty and spoilage. I'll be a little bit more mysterious like my buddy here and alluring you to watch it. Oh my God. We love you all. Thanks again for really joining us every time. It means a lot to us, to everyone who listens. We're really having fun here doing this, honestly. We've known each other for, what, since... 2010. Yeah, 2010.
Yeah, my freshman year.
Yeah, 2010. We've known each other since 2010, since we did a Midsummer Night's Dream together. That's when we really got to introduction to each other.
School play. We'll talk about those days.
Oh, we'll do, yeah. But this is how long this podcast has been in the making. It's just since 2010, so 15 years. Hey, we should go have a quinceañera.
Hoping you're having a good day. Glad you listened to us. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Bye.